This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson, and it's time for today's cover story on monsters.
Must have the precious. They stole it from us.
In The Lord of the Rings, the movies and the books, the best monster isn't any of the thousands of orcs or the evil wolves. The best monster in Lord of the Rings is Gollum, the starved, stooped, gray, murderous little creature who leads the main characters, Frodo and Sam, on their quest. Gollum is like a cross between Nosferatu and a frog, but a long time ago, he was a regular guy, a hobbit relative. In the second Lord of the Rings movie, Gollum has an argument with himself, the old, less monstrous part of him taunted by who he is now.
You don't have any friends. Nobody likes you.
Not listening. Not listening.
You're a liar. And a thief.
No.
Murderer. You will go away.
I hate you.
Gollum is a very complicated monster. But when you think about it, so are many others. In fact, all the most interesting ones. Today, we're asking what we see in monsters and why we create them in movies and art and books. My guest is supremely well qualified to talk about those questions. Anne Rice is one of the best-selling novelists of all time. Her 25 books include Interview with a Vampire, Queen of the Damned, and most recently, The Blood Canticle, which she says is her last book about her most famous creation, the vampire Lestat. She joins us today from the very atmospheric old mansion where she lives in New Orleans. Anne Rice, welcome to Studio 360.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm very, very happy to be with you.
If we can begin at the beginning, what, these many years ago, drew you at first to vampires?
Well, I really can't answer the question. It was almost like an accident. All I had was the concept. Get the vampire to open up and tell you what it's really like to be the vampire, the immortal, the predator, the outcast. And when I went into the voice of that monster, I stepped into a supernatural character and through him was able to touch everything that I knew. And the novel Interview with the Vampire was the result. You know, putting a frame around reality, saying this is a story about vampires, this is a story about monsters. You know, going that step, removing myself in that way from reality, I suddenly had access to reality. I suddenly got treacherously close to everything.
And by everything, you mean the fundamental questions of existence.
Exactly.
I have a sense that you believe through the voice of this protagonist, especially Lestat, that you're able to tell truths about what you, Anne Rice, believe is the nature of the world that in a more ordinary, naturalistic character you wouldn't be able to do.
Exactly. Exactly. I simply didn't have access. I couldn't. I was constrained by realism, and especially pedestrian realism, which at that time, and which really still is, the ruling genre of the literary elite. The novel about ordinary people doing ordinary things and having a small epiphany, that is the template of high literature in America right now. I mean, people thought a vampire book. She's written a vampire book. It's about vampires. But other people didn't feel that way. I mean, they picked it up. They gave it a chance. They discovered that it was philosophical, that it had high ambitions, that it was something other than a cheap horror novel.
Tell me and tell our listeners who perhaps haven't read the books who Lestat is and what kind of a guy he is.
Well, Lestat is a vampire. He was born in the 18th century. He was kidnapped from a rich life. He was a boulevard actor, an aristocrat who'd run away from the family keep in the Auvergne, and he'd come to Paris, and he was having fun on the boulevards. He was getting recognition. He was made a vampire against his will. And in Interview with the Vampire, he's in the New World, actually. He's the only vampire in the New World, apparently. And he's in New Orleans, and he makes a comrade out of Louis, a very despairing young planter. And Louis actually tells the tale in Interview with the Vampire of what it's like to be made a vampire by Lestat through an exchange of blood. And Louis, of course, is a very melancholy and regretful and grief-stricken character. He was really me at the time. It was very autobiographical. I think it was about the loss of faith, about grief, about suffering. Louis talked about all of these things. He was horrified that he had to drink blood from people that he almost always killed his victims, even though Louis had chosen to do it. He had gotten himself into something terrible. And to keep Louis, to not lose his companion, to not be utterly alone, Lestat makes a vampire of a child, Claudia, a little girl. And they become like a family, a vampire family, and they exist for 50 years in a kind of dark, lustrous bliss. And that's at the core of Interview with the Vampire. And all goes well until Claudia begins to ask questions.
Now, if I can not let you skip over the when you talk about it being autobiographical and out of the grief that you were feeling at the time, tell me what that means.
Well, certainly I didn't know it at the time, but the book was about everything in my life in its own way. I had left New Orleans as a child. I had left behind a beautiful city where I'd been very happy. And I had gone out west to work my way through college. I was married very early. I had left the Catholic Church, the huge, rich heritage of the Catholic Church. I'd been sort of torn away from that by a sort of fashionable atheism and a deep despair. I had lost my little daughter to a rare strain of leukemia. And I was, at the time I wrote Interview with the Vampire, sort of directionless and grief-stricken and struggling to find my voice as a writer. And I think that the novel reflected my fall from grace, my break with the church, my existential misery, and also the loss of my daughter, my sense that I had failed to save my daughter from what she had. And Lestat is a figure that represented my husband because of his decisiveness and his will and his charm and he was even physically based on my husband, Stan, 6 feet tall, long blonde hair, very beautiful, very feline in his movements. And Louis was not really, you know, he certainly didn't look like me, but he was sort of a dream figure of the man I would like to have been.
So if Lestat was based on your husband, to whom you were married for many years, then the sort of sexualized quality of the vampire's embrace was more than metaphoric, I guess.
Absolutely. It was. But again, I didn't know it. You know, when I write, I trust the subconscious completely. I believe in educating myself to the max and stimulating myself with, you know, by everything that I read, listen to, see, do. And then I go to the keyboard and I trust to my instincts as I tell the tale.